Well, keep your place there in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 21 to 28 this morning. We're going to continue just talking about potholes on the narrow way, on the narrow road. Now, just to remind you, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount now for over a month, just going through Matthew 5 to Matthew 7. And as we come to this portion of Matthew 7, we're at the end of Jesus's sermon. The whole time he's been preaching, and now he's at the conclusion of his sermon. And he's trying to present to us truth and ask us, which way are we going and how are we living? You know, I'm reminded of a story of deception as I was just working through this text. Pastor Aaron tells the story of a friend of his who rented a house on the beach, got on the internet, found the house, paid the money, packed up his family, drove down to this beach house, and when he got to the beach house, knocked on the door or tried to open the door or whatever the case may be, and to his surprise, there's somebody there. Come to find out, it's not a beach house that was for rent. The person there said, "This is my home. This is where we live. I don't know who rented this to you, but it's not for rent, and it's not for sale, and you can't stay here." Can you just imagine thinking that you've got your vacation planned and everything's taken care of? You walk up to the door and you realize you've been deceived. Somebody has run off with your money, they've run off with your vacation, and you get that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach. Well, you know, there's many people that will plan for all sorts of things in life, but when it comes to eternity, and when they enter into the presence of the Lord, the scenario is going to be very much the same for them. They're going to feel deceived, but it's not the Lord who has deceived them. It's their own selves. It's the way they lived. It's what they were depending on that deceived them. And beloved, I don't ever want you sitting here to get to that place where you stand before God and you realize when you're in his presence that you've been living your life for the wrong things. You've been living your life in the wrong way. You've been depending on the wrong things to get you into the eternal presence of God. Do not be deceived. Well, that's how Christ ends this Sermon on the Mount this morning. He basically says there's two ways you can live your life. There's two roads that you can walk, the narrow road or the broad road. There's two destinations, eternity with God and eternity in hell. And these are the choices that we all have to make. It's the reality that we all face. So I just want to show you this morning as we look at the text that really we can be self-deceived. And there's two ways we can be deceived. First of all, we can be deceived in where we're going eternally. And we see that deception in verse 21 through verse 23. There are people who will stand before the Lord. And when they stand before him in eternity, they will be deceived. They will have deceived themselves based on what they were hoping to do in order to get into heaven. And then in verse 24 to verse 27, there's those people that are deceiving themselves in the way they're living now. So it's two groups of people, how we're living now and where we're going for eternity. I want us to look at both of these together. And I want you just to ask yourself, what are you depending on? Where are you going? And do you know for sure that what you're depending on is right and true? Let's go to chapter 7, verse 21. I want you to see the first group of people that Jesus talks about. There's people who are going to be deceived when they enter into eternity. They're deceived in where they're going. Now look, first of all, at these people that are deceived where they're going. What makes them deceived? Well, there's certain things that cause this deception. It's from their own selves, but notice what these things are. Look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Immediately, the people that are going to be deceived in eternity are people that based their salvation off of what they said. What they said. The sayers. But notice that Jesus says it's not what we say that gets us into eternity. It's how we obey that is the test if indeed we are going into eternity. Look back at verse 21. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I mean, immediately, we're confronted with the deception that we may have. And that is, if we are people that are basing our salvation off of the things that we've said, then we may not be entering into eternity with God. We have to be basing our salvation off of obedience to the will of God, off of fruit that ought to be coming out of our lives because the Spirit is in us and the Word is precious to us, and that produces spiritual fruit. But there are way too many people in evangelical churches today that would base their entire eternity on what they've said. Friends, not everyone who says, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Not everyone who says, I'm a church member. Not everyone who says, Lord, is going to heaven. You know, one of the worst things I think preachers have done is they have told people, never question your salvation. Because somehow when they tell people to question their salvation, people get the idea that we're doubting God and we're doubting His Word. And many people have been told, as long as you prayed a prayer, you're safe and you have nothing to worry about. And yet, we never tell those people, it also matters how you're living. You know, I think we believe in our mind, well, as long as I've prayed the prayer, as long as I've said it, I'm good and I'm safe. No, friend, no. True salvation is always followed by righteous living. Now, righteous living doesn't save you. Righteous living doesn't get you to heaven, but let me say to you that if you're saved, you're going to bear spiritual fruit. You're going to do the will of the Father. You're going to be obedient to God's truth, and it's going to be more than just saying, it's going to be obeying. And yet there's so many people who are deceiving themselves, and they are thinking, but I said it. I quoted the magic formula. And it doesn't really matter how I live my life, does it? It doesn't really matter what I do. I mean, I know that I'm a Christian. Friends, let me just read to you the quote from John MacArthur that I read a couple of weeks ago. I think this says it so well. He said, when a couple lives together without being married, when a person practices homosexuality or is deceptive or dishonest in business, is hateful and deceitful, or habitually practices sin without repentance or remorse, such cannot be a Christian. No matter what sort of experience they claim to have had, or what kind of testimony they claim to have made, if there's not pattern, then there's not true salvation. Now, friends, being a Christian doesn't mean we're perfect. And Jesus never calls us to be perfect, but He does call us to have a pattern in our life of going in the right direction. Amen? And we don't hear enough of this today. We hear way too much of just say, just say, just say, and you're good. Doesn't matter how you live. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter what is really going on in the heart. Just say it and you're safe. And that is not what Jesus is telling us here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now look again as we just continue going through these people, where they're going, being deceived. Notice as well verse 22. It says, on that day. Now what day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of judgment, the day of the return of the Lord. There will be a day where we will be accountable. On that day, he says, many will say to me. Is that not shocking? Many, not few, but many will say to me. Many will be deceived. Many will be falsely believing that they are always on the right road, but yet when they get to the end, the final destination, they're not. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now notice right here in verse 22, these people that come to the Lord, these many who are deceived, they're deceived in eternity when they get there. These many have actually done things. They've done mighty works. Now, their first problem of deception is they're basing their salvation on what they've said, not on their obedience to the word of God. But the second problem is they've actually accomplished a lot of things. They've accomplished things in the name of the Lord. They've said, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?" Meaning preach. Some of these will be preachers. Remember, he spends a whole paragraph in verse 15 to verse 20 talking about false prophets. Some of them will be preachers. He's not talking here about atheists. He's not talking about other religions. I mean, the people that Jesus mentions that are going to come to him deceived are those who would call him Lord, those who would call him master. An atheist would not call him Lord. Someone who does not believe in Yahweh or Jehovah would not say, "Lord, Lord," emphatically. Did we not preach in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? And did we not do mighty works in your name? You see, these people actually worked. They called him Lord. They felt like their works were mighty works. And yet all of that, they are still deceived as they enter into eternity. Notice verse 23, "I will declare to them, I never knew you." Now, there's two things Jesus says about these deceived people that enter into eternity. They've based everything on what they've said. They've accomplished a lot of religious feats. But the problem is, ultimately, is number one, there was never any intimacy between God and them. Everything they did, they were doing it for themselves. Notice he says, "I never knew you," verse 23. That wording there is a wording that means intimacy in the most deep and profound sense. Jesus is saying, you may have done many things in my name. You may have accomplished many religious things, but I did not intimately, personally know you. These people were what I often call professors. Not education professors, but professors who profess Christ, but they were not possessors. They did not possess the Spirit. They did not have intimacy with God. They did not have a relationship with God. They had religion, but not a relationship. And that is a distinction made in the Scripture. People who are all about religion, people who are all about professing, those are not people who have a relationship, who have intimacy with God. But notice also in verse 23, not only did the Lord say, "I never knew you," but they were workers of lawlessness. Do you see that there? Workers of lawlessness. Everything they did was actually against the Scripture. It was against the law of God. It was done supposedly in the name of the Lord, but it was against the truth of the word. You know, I don't know if we fully grasp this, but friends, the Bible is authority, and it is authority because it is the word of God. It is not the word of man. It is God's word. It is not just a book that we read. It is the governing factor of a believer's life. And anybody that goes against the word, practicing lawlessness, moving away from the law of God and the truth of God, is somebody who is working iniquity. They are somebody who is deceived. So here we can say all we want to say about prayers we've prayed and aisles we've walked and churches we've attended. And we can talk about all the things that we've accomplished. I've done good things. I've given, I've served, I've mopped, I've cleaned, I've helped. But none of that matters if we don't have a personal relationship with Christ and if we're obedient to his word. That's what makes a true believer. Friends, can I just also say right here, this is why we do church discipline. Most people do not understand church discipline. But I want to tell you, there's many people that profess to be a Christian, and they've decided they're going to live however they want in whatever way that way they want. And what the church does when we practice church discipline is we come alongside these people that are saying, Lord, Lord, and we're showing them lovingly, we're showing them patiently, we're showing them graciously. Friend, it doesn't matter what you say, it matters that you obey. And if you come and say that you're a believer, you're deceiving yourself if you're practicing lawlessness. I mean, you cannot live lawlessness and enter the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't work that way. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you feel. If we're practicing lawlessness, and friends, we're going against the word of God, against God himself. God is the word. The two are inseparable. Jesus said he was the eternal word, the divine logos. And so for those who would come and say, I'm a believer, and I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know you're going to heaven? What's your response to the word? What's your response to the truth? What's your response to God's declared message? So let me just warn you that when we all get to heaven, not everybody who's said, not everybody who's accomplished, not everybody who's done is going to actually enter into eternity. The narrow road and the narrow gate is not for those who say, but for those who obey. As believers, it's not perfection, but it's the direction of our life. And while we fail and we sin, a believer is continually going to walk in the right direction of godliness and holiness and truth because the Spirit lives in us and the Word is precious to us. Well, let's go to number two. Not only are there those who are deceived on where they're going, but there are those who are deceived in how they're living. The first paragraph there, Jesus is talking about when we enter into eternity. But now he takes a step back, and in verse 24 to verse 27, he talks about the way that we're living now. So he goes from eternity to the way that we're living now. And notice what he says in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now just notice, he says, if you hear these words of mine, these words of mine are scripture. So he says, if you want to live in a way that you know that you're going on the narrow road, you know that you're on the narrow way, gauge your life in how you respond, how you hear, how you listen to the words of Christ, the words of Scripture. You don't just hear them, but notice verse 24, you do them. If you do the word, you will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now the rock there is the word of God. We know that because later he says in verse 25, because it had not been founded on the rock, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. He repeatedly says that phrase. Hear these words of mine. Do these words of mine. Those who hear and do are like those who build upon the rock. Now, whether we understand this or not, we've got to comprehend we are all building something. From the day that we come into this life, we're all building something. We're building a house, so to speak. Notice these two people that are compared. One is building their house on the rock, on the foundation of the Word of God, of the Scripture. And that person's house that is being built on the foundation, on the Word of Scripture, is the house that's going to be able to stand when the pressures of life and the storms of life come. Life is going to be difficult. I mean, we're never promised that it's going to be easy. The rains are going to come, the floods are going to come, the winds are going to beat on the house. But it depends on what we're living our life on. Is it the foundation of the Word, or is it the foundation of shifting sand, which is the philosophy of the world? Notice verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those who are not building their lives on the word, on the scripture, on the truth, find that they have nothing ultimately to stand on when the trials of life come. So these are people that are deceived in life. Friends, if we're not living our lives on the scripture and on the authority of the word of God, it doesn't matter what we say. You know, the Bible governs the life of a believer, and it should govern our life. Well, notice, if you will, the very last couple of verses there, verse 28. It said, when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. I don't think that that word astonished says accurately what the crowd was like when they finished hearing Jesus. It basically says, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were dumbfounded at his teaching. Now, why were they dumbfounded? Because what he said had weight. It was powerful. It was hard. And most of them were probably depending on the things they've said and their own accomplishments to get them into eternal life. They're not dependent upon the relationship or obedience to God's word. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. He was speaking from authority because he was the fountain of living water. The very words that he was saying was the words of life. And those words of life dumbfounded these people. They were presented with a choice. Which road are you going on? What place are you going? How are you living your life? Well, friends, I just want to end today. And I want to just give you an example of something that I heard this past week. You know, I grew up in a great church. Had a lot of wonderful, godly people at my home church where I grew up. But this past week, when I was traveling and meeting up with other pastors, I was asking one of my old pastors, how is so-and-so at the church? How's so-and-so? How's their life going? How's their marriage? How's their kids? And you know what this pastor started telling me? He just started going down the list, and he said, you know this person? Well, he just left his wife. You know this person? They haven't been in church for years. They just dropped out. You know this person? Well, yeah, they've started living disobediently to the word. And on he went down as I would just ask about people that I grew up with. And he would say, they're not living obediently. They're not living godly lives. And it broke my heart as I sat and listened to this. Over and over again, people who were in the word, in the church, but today they were not living obediently to it. And it just made me realize that in every church, there's going to be people that attend, that sit, that open the Bible, that look, that do all sorts of things. But friends, if we don't make it to the end, if we don't persevere to the end by the grace of God, then we were never of God to begin with. There's a verse in 1 John. It says, those who are no longer of us, were never of us to begin with. And my hope and prayer for you is that we're all here in church, but I hope we're basing our eternity not on just what we say, not on just where we are and what we've accomplished, but on the word of God, on the truth of God, and on the promises of God that come to us through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.